Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. In today's podcast, we're continuing to talk about the public reading of Scripture. Our key sentence for this series of podcasts states, Scripture can come alive for people as time and effort are put into the way it is read publicly. And the key sentence for today, children acquainted with God's Word are well prepared for life. In the last podcast, we listened to a Chapel of the Air radio broadcast from more than 30 years ago. In that broadcast, David, you and your wife Karen shared very valuable information regarding the subject of a family publicly reading Scripture together. Today, we turn to the subject of preparing children for the reading of Scripture. Whenever children participate in a worship service, David, the congregation is all smiles. It doesn't seem to matter whether what the children do is done well or not. But when it comes to reading Scripture, we can learn how to prepare children so they will read the Scripture well. Is this something worth doing?
Well, it's something that gives them immense pleasure. I think whenever you do something publicly and you know that you've done it well and you can see the expressions of the people smiling and appreciating what you're doing, that also it gives you a great sense of well-being. And the children pick this up. You know, so in my mind, you can make reading Scripture in public dull, but you can also make it exciting. And always, you know, as you prepare it and the kids get excited about it and then they do a good job, there's a great sense of satisfaction, not only that the people like this, but that God liked this. So you have this sense that I really pleased the Lord today. And not only do you have that as an adult, the children have that very same sense. I think all that is positive. I can't think of any negatives of the experiences we had when we did the public reading of Scripture as a family. There was always this sense of excitement, we're going to do it, we'll do it well, and oh boy, we did it well, and I think we pleased the Lord. That's wonderful.
Very good. Well, I think we should listen to another exchange between you and your wife, Karen, on this very topic.
Today, is it harder or easier to raise children who love the Lord than it was when you were a youngster? Well, no matter what your answer, I invite you to stay tuned to hear what David and Karen Maines have to say as they continue in this series of messages on the public reading of the Bible.
Karen, how would you answer Ted's question?
Well, David, I think that all of us have a tendency to think that it's the hardest time, the generation in which we are living, to raise children in a Christian sense. I think each generation has good and bad things. I think there have been harder times, perhaps, than we are experiencing now. But I do think it is a difficult time.
We do know that whatever the generation, there is tremendous value in God's Word being placed in the hearts of our children. There's a beautiful verse, Karen, in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It talks about Timothy, and Paul writes how he knows from a child that Timothy has been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And then these famous words, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So if I put into a sentence what that says, children acquainted with God's Word are well prepared for life.
I have to agree with that sentence.
Now, usually when we think about preparing children through Scripture, we either have in mind reading the Bible to them or getting them to maybe memorize Scriptures, but we have another whole idea, and we began to share this last Friday.
This was to pull a little family unit together and take Scripture and design it for the public reading of the Word. I wish I could capture the hilarity and the fun there is when a family works together on a project like this, but this is one of the options that just happened to have fallen our way. Because of the church that we had in the inner city, it had a worship service where this was encouraged, and we often pulled the children together to do this kind of thing.
So it was families where a skill had been developed at reading God's Word in public, and ours was not the only family. There are added benefits to this as well, which take us back into the whole series of which we're a part. When Scripture is presented in a delightful way in our public services, of a sudden people say, that must be a very good book. They are enjoying what they're doing. I would like to read more, as opposed to the feeling, well, that's not really that interesting to the man who's even reading it. That's the last thing I want to do.
Ho-hum. Time for reading Scripture.
Let's give another example now of family Bible reading. The one we did last Friday was a topical reading. This one is as well. We've taken different sections from Scripture, put them together. On Friday, we gave a message like from Solomon to his son, beware of the adventurous woman. But this is more an expression to God of gratitude, and we have personalized it, so each one of us has to respond from our own lives. We have one substitute reader.
Yes, Matthew Elliott, who is a close friend of Joel and our entire family, substituted for Joel, who was visiting with friends, close friends, who have a work amongst the Indians in Albuquerque. This Thanksgiving,
1982,
we as a family would like to express
our thanks to God.
The psalmist writes
in Psalm 66:16,
come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what He has done for me.
All you who fear God, and I will tell you what He has done for me.
And I too.
I thank you, God, because in 1982, a strong team of supportive co-workers was being formed at the Chapel of the Air.
I thank you, God, because you bless me with many close Christian friendships.
I thank you, God, because in 1982, I was able to finish junior high with a good relationship with my classmates and teachers.
I thank you, God, because in 1982, we had a great vacation at Montana.
I thank you, God, because in 1982, I saw my children mature more and more in the strength of the Lord.
I thank God, because in 1982, the Lord has given me specific guidance in the direction of my future.
Thou art my God.
And I will give thanks to thee.
Thou art my God.
I will extol thee.
Hey, what's extol mean?
Well, extol means to praise highly or to lift up.
Thanks, Ma.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord.
For he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Psalm 118, verses 28 and 29.
Even for hard things in 1982, we thank you, Lord.
For your presence while walking through the valley of the shadow of my mother's death.
For your committed friendship, even when I have felt loneliness.
For guiding me through a year at a public school.
For helping me to get good grades in spite of a year filled with pressure and unexpected responsibilities.
For your encouragement to my heart, even during a year when more and more of our supporters have been without work and therefore unable to give.
For the doctors who were able to save my cousin Steve's hand when it was practically cut off by a lawnmower.
With David the psalmist, we say,
thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing.
Thou hast loosed my sackcloth and girded. Yeah, Jeremy.
What's sackcloth?
Sackcloth, Jeremy, was a rough clothing worn in Bible times when people were very sad or in mourning. Thou hast loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness.
That my soul may praise thee and not be silent.
O Lord my God, I will give thanks to thee forever.
Psalm 30, verses 11 and 12.
This Thanksgiving, we certainly want to thank the Lord for our church. Psalm 122, verse 1.
I was glad when they said to me,
let's go to the house of the Lord.
Psalm 84, verse 10.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than
dwell in the tents of wickedness.
Psalm 55, verse 14.
Behold, how good and pleasant it is
when brothers dwell in unity.
It is like the precious oil upon the
head running down upon
the beard.
Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers
upon the beard of Aaron.
It's like the precious oil
on the collar
running down
of his robe.
Upon the beard and collar.
Thanksgiving, 1982.
As with David in Psalm 65, 11 through 13, our family declares,
thou crownest the year with thy bounty.
The tracks of thy chariot drip with fatness.
The pastures of the wilderness drip.
Now listen, Jeremy, the hills clothe or gird themselves with what?
Gird themselves? Oh, with sackcloth.
tricked you. Just the opposite. The hills gird themselves with joy.
The meadows clothe themselves with flocks.
The valleys deck themselves with grain.
They shout and sing together for joy.
Back to verses 1 and 4 of Psalm 65.
Praise is due thee,
praise
O
God,
due
in,
God
Zion.
In Zion. Praise is due thee.
Blessed is he whom thou dost choose and bring near.
Choose and bring near to dwell in thy courts.
We shall be satisfied.
We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy
with
house.
With the goodness of thy holy temple.
Well, now, if that sounds like something that's interesting to you, you can prepare your family for Thanksgiving Sunday this year.
And the purpose of this is to stimulate similar ideas in your own family. People who haven't had an experience with this often don't know where to head. And if you can use this and fill in your own gratefulness from each family member, great. But we would much prefer that you would use it as a stimulus to design your own family Bible reading.
That's really where I think the value is, Karen, as people go through the scriptures themselves and pick out the ones that they say, oh, that's exactly what we want to say. And then it becomes a delightful family project. Sometimes people get stuck and say, well, what would we ever write a scripture reading about? Let's see if we can give some ideas.
Well, I think in this last one, you deliberately included the concept of when brothers dwell in unity for an obvious reason, is that we have some difficulty with that in our own family.
At least among two of the members.
Yes, from time to time. They are doing better.
I didn't put in the verse about Abraham and Lot, let there be no strife between me and thee, for we be brethren.
Was that the one your mother had hung up in your room?
Yes, she put it on a plaque and then put it in our room. I think that usually the plaque was sideways because we had been wrestling.
Hitting each other over the head with.
Yeah. I think whatever is a current topic in the family is the thing that it's fun to work on. If you're struggling, say, with a matter of honesty, should I really tell the truth here or not, then as a family, work through verses on honesty, put them together, and they'll live in your life for a long, long time. Another illustration. I think a lot of people are concerned about world peace. Mm. Are there any passages on peace in the scriptures?
Oh, that'd be a beautiful one for a scripture for Christmas family readings.
Yes, very much so. I talked to a man just the other day, Karen. He said, why don't you do a series of messages on the chapel, David, on the matter of vocation or work? Now, that's a hard topic for a minister to handle, and I've struggled with the whole value of work. But it would be a beautiful thing for a family to put together what the Bible says about the value of work. So you pick out wherever you happen to be and then just start the topics together. You get the different people in your family to look up the verses, and pretty soon you have the material, and then you start to say, how are we going to put this in a sequence so it will be interesting when we do it in public? How long, Karen, do you think scriptures like this will last in the lives of the people involved?
Well, David, I think that what we are doing more than planting scripture in the traditional memory kind of way is creating a familiarity with portions of the Word. There is an ownership that is involved when you have worked with a passage like this. You may not have a word-for-word perfect memorization process. But I think what I want to do more than just clamp memorization on children is to give them a feeling that the Word is beautiful. And frankly, I think that is much more important as a beginning point, a love of the Word for the pure beauty of it, and for the grace that comes out of the Word as it speaks to us, than to set them aside and give them a grocery list memorization. Most educators know that memorization that has been accomplished strictly because it is a grocery list memorization is not lasting. It's forgotten. So what we're trying to do is give them a love and then a familiarity with passages.
And when you introduce words like delight, you're doing away with the dulls, and that's what our series is about, Down with the Dulls. And we're coming out of that passage in Timothy which says, give attention to the public reading of Scripture.
David, these Chapel of the Air radio broadcasts from years ago have some really pertinent examples.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? They're still relevant for today, no question about it. And they challenge me again because I got grandchildren now, and I'm thinking we did some things that I'd like to include our grandchildren in as well.
That's right. It doesn't just have to be children. It could be grandchildren. In fact, you could have multiple generations
yes.
of family read Scripture in a service. Wouldn't that be a powerful example of how God works down through the years as the love of Christ is passed from generation to generation.
Yeah, very much so. And it's not that complicated. We could do it.
That's right. We thank you for joining us for this time together. You found the SermonCoach.com podcast on our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have lots of resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.